What does this world laugh at? Sin. It's okay to laugh, but this world mocks sin. Can I tell you adultery is not funny? Can I tell you drunkenness is not funny? Sexual perversion is not funny?
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is a ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. That voice there is God. Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. If you're a Bible student, you're well aware of what he's alluding to. It's found in the book of Exodus. And God thundered His law to Moses. And they said, they put a fence there. They kept them back, but they let them get as close as they could. And they said, we want to hear from God too. And Moses said, it's going to be fearful. They said, we want to hear Him. And after they heard Him, we don't want to hear Him anymore. You go talk to Him and you come tell us what He said. Can I just paint you a little picture? I've said this for now 3 weeks in a row. And I don't know why, but maybe one of our young people, maybe one of our middle-aged is struggling with, there's so many varieties and flavors, if you will, of church today. Maybe you're struggling with where to go. Let me tell you something. Don't go anywhere where God is not reverenced and holy and made much of. And can I be honest with you? We may not give Him as much reverence and value as we ought to here. I'm not saying we've got it all figured out, but I am telling you we want to. I don't think for a minute God is offended, if that's the right word, by the little children giving their offering. But if God said, I want that a little more decent and in order, Doug, you need to step it up a notch. Let me tell you what I'm going to do, Brother Youngblood. We're going to step it up a notch. What I'm saying to you is, this is God's house. You don't run through Biltmore like you had a hootenanny or a barn dance. Now, if we've got enough respect for Biltmore, we ought to respect the house of God. Now, that doesn't mean it's a funeral. It doesn't mean we're morbid. That doesn't mean we don't shout the victory. It doesn't mean we don't hug necks and laugh and smile and enjoy each other. But it is God's house. Look at verse number 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. If so much as a beast, a dumb animal, touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Stop right there before we go to 24. 22 and 23 is just a real quick overview of everything that we're going to encounter in heaven. Look in verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Please listen to me for 60 seconds. Do you want to know what Caleb did on Tuesday? He didn't reject Jesus. He received Him. If I've said it once, I've said it 500 times in 7.5 years. Salvation is serious, but it's not complicated. And Trevor, that balance. We don't just go to our five-year-olds, those that you're able to have an intelligent conversation with and talk about heaven and hell and the cross and throw in a little mention of sin and the bad things you did. You remember when you were mean to mommy, that was a sin, and Jesus doesn't like sin. And we don't just talk to them for 3 to 5 minutes and say, no, let me lead you in this prayer. We're more serious about it than that. We want to see evidence of the Holy Spirit drawing them to the Savior, the Spirit and the bride. Saying, come. But at the same time, there's another side to that coin. And I don't any time ever want our children or a visitor or for that sake, a middle-aged or elderly church person who's been in church all their life. I'm thinking of Miss Kimmons. She said, preacher, I'm lost. I'm lost. She said, I've been a good person. I was always kind. I was always caring. I was always giving. She wasn't bragging. She's stating facts. If you knew her, it's who she was. She said, and I would talk to preachers and I would say, I'm troubled about my salvation. She said, they'd pat me on the shoulder and say, you're all right. Whatever age you are, salvation is simply accepting the invitation, coming and not rejecting, receiving and not refusing. And I want it to be that personal to everybody in here. Let's finish the chapter. Verse number 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. Please look at that next word, acceptably. Please banish forever the thought from your mind, this is the best I've got, he can take it or leave it. You're talking like Cain. Ask God, is my offering acceptable to you, or am I pleasing you? I know I'm accepted in Christ, but that's my position, practically lived out day after day. I want to live a life that pleases Him. In other words, what if Jesus was sitting on the platform today to watch and listen and participate in our service? Can I tell you something? He's here. He's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we need to recognize that fact. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Look at 29. Old Testament truth right here smack in the middle of the New Testament. Why? Because God hasn't changed. For our God is a consuming fire. I won't keep you long this morning. I know for a fact that I've just got a very simple short thought to give every one of you this morning. And it's three mountains that I want you to look at in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Would you look in verse number 18? For we are not coming to a mount that might be touched, burning, blackness, darkness, tempest, trumpet, words, a voice that was so fearful that those that were listening said, no, no, come tell us what he said. We can't bear it. The first mountain that I want you to think about. My heart has been so heavy for the children. I guess because of last Sunday morning and then Caleb getting saved on Tuesday and just knowing where the Lord was directing me all week long. I honestly consider just having the children, but I don't want anybody else to think the message is not for you because it's for all of us. The first mountain that I want you to think about is Sinai. Mount Sinai, and that the passage that is alluded to in verses 18 through 21 is found in the book of Exodus. Here's the word I want you to equate with Mount Sinai, and that word is anger. Now listen to me carefully. Forever put away from your thoughts a temper tantrum. A spouse or a parent that was so temperamental, you never knew how they were going to respond to what you said. If you grew up in a home and you lived in fear, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a holy anger. I'm talking about a righteous anger. I am talking about a loving, giving, sacrificing God. He sacrificed His own Son. I'm talking about a God who is angry with the wicked every day. Why? He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God is angry with the wicked every day. The first mountain that I want you to think about is Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, where there's fire and smoke and a voice that is so powerful that the hearers said no more. That is where God told us what He thought about sin. And we live in a world that mocks sin. The Bible says in Proverbs, fools make a mock at sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it gives a horrible, vile, filthy list of sins. And the last verse in that chapter says, not only those that do these things, but those that have pleasure in them that do them. Elijah, do you want to know what that verse is referring to? 98% of what's on television and on the computer. What does this world laugh at? Sin. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We laugh a lot as a church family. We enjoy life. We laugh at ourselves. Sometimes we laugh at you, not with you. It's okay to laugh, but this world mocks sin. Can I tell you adultery is not funny? Can I tell you drunkenness is not funny? Sexual perversion is not funny? That this world makes a mock at sin. And if we're not careful, we get drawn into that because we're against it. And sometimes the way we show our aversion to it is to mock and laugh at it. We're laughing at what put Jesus on the cross. So I want us to just, our children, may God give you a 8, 10, 12-year-old understanding of just how serious sin is. Do you know that because we are created in God's image, there are many things we need to be taught, but there are some things that are innate. They're in us. We know, regardless of how bad our home was and our upbringing and all of that, there's just some things that are in us that because we're, I believe it's because we're created in His image, we know there's something wrong with that. Let me give you an example. There are many in this auditorium who have done this. I'm trying to make a point. I'm not trying to single you out. And you know that. You know I love you. I have sat with inmates. And all I wanted to tell them was how good God was and that all of the problems in life would be answered with Jesus Christ. And Mike, before we could start the conversation, they'd say, Chaplain, I'm sorry about my tattoos. I said, I didn't come to look at your tattoos. What's done's done. Why is that? When you color on yourself when you're three, your mama took a Brillo pad. Did she ever take off more hide than she did magic marker? Mine did. She's trying to teach me a lesson. There's just foreign substances that make me not in control of my faculties, and they are controlling me. There's something in me, Aaron, that tells me that's wrong. Now, we may choose to do it anyway because I don't want to be in control of my faculties. I want to blame it on the beer. I want to blame it on the pills. I want to blame it on the powder. I want to blame it on something else. But there's something in me, Miss Sandra, that tells me this isn't right. I need help. Am I right or wrong? So it bothers me that our children and now my grandchildren are growing up in a world that mocks sin. And I'm moving on, but I want to ask every member of Progress Baptist Church, can we check our entertainment? Can we just leave our laughing to hunting accidents and being caught up in a tree with a skunk? Or thinking you was buying something on sale, you sent your husband and the price was this, and instead of buying two, he bought 20. And you're like, honey, we won't use that many bottles of that in the next 5 years. Can we just let our humor be that stuff? Are y'all with me? Be real careful, parents, what you laugh at. You might be able to disregard it and say, oh, I know the truth. I know what's right. You might be sowing seeds in those children's hearts. The second mountain that I want you to look at. The first one is God is angry with sin. Let me tell you why God, why Exodus, why we have the law. When God came down in the cool of the day to fellowship with Adam and Eve, can you hear the sorrow in His voice when He said, Adam, where art thou? And He knew, but He wanted Adam to acknowledge where he was. And Adam had to say, We ate of the tree that You told us not to, and we're naked, and we tried to clothe ourselves. God's heart was broken, and that's why He gave us the law. The second mountain that I want you to look at is in verse number 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The picture that this mountain gives me of God is all. A-W-E. Now let me tell you something. I guarantee you every person in this auditorium this week has used and heard the word awesome. That's a tragedy. Because everything's not awesome. Awesome used to be reserved for stuff that inspired awe. And when you're in awe of something, you're probably going to be quiet. And not be doing a whole bunch of yakking. But now one of the men could put two mufflers and a gas pack on his Ford F-250. And the boys are going to go, that's awesome. One of the ladies can get a new outfit and the other lady's going to go, that's awesome. Look at me, friend. Everything's not awesome. Very few things are awesome. And our God is awesome. That is what He is describing in verses 22 and 23 is the awesomeness of our God. That is the God that Moses said, Lord, let me look on You. And God said, I'm too holy for You to look at. He said, please let me. I love You so much. I want to see You. And God said, I'll put You in a cave where there's a little cleft in the rock. Then I'm going to put my hand over it, and then I'm going to walk by. And after I get by, I'll gently move my hand and You can just see a little bit of what's behind me. He said, and you'll just get a very tiny glimpse of My glory. And Moses got a tiny glimpse of the glory of God, and his face, Moses' face shined so brightly, the people couldn't stand to look at Him. They had to put a veil over His face. And that's why for several weeks now I've been reminding you, He is not the man upstairs. He is not one of the boys. He's not the big guy. He is a holy, reverenced God. He is the God that in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Please listen to me carefully. Something or somebody may have to die in your life before you get eyes to see Jesus. We're so prone to idol worship that we want a God we can see and touch. And if we put that before our one true God, God may have to remove them. That's Bible, friend. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. His train, that would be like the royal regal robes. His train filled the temple and the room was full of angels with not two wings, six, crying, holy, holy, holy. I want to ask you a question. How real is God to you? How God conscious are you? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We live like there's no God. I want Him to do whatever He has to do in my life for me to live with a God consciousness. So number one, His anger at sin. Number two, the awe that He inspires. I'm moving on to the third one. Does that word resonate? Are you awed A-W-E-D. Are you odd with God? Ashley, do you know what you need, sweetie? Overwhelmed. Overcome with awe for God. You don't need another new leaf. You need to be awed with God. The pastor I read about this week who left his wife for another woman. You know what he lost? His awe of God. A proper view of God will keep you out of that mess. A proper view of God will keep me off of any site I don't need to be on my computer. A proper view of God will keep me from coming to you and sowing discord about another brother in the church. Y'all with me? You say, well, Brother Rains, what about Oak Tree Baptist Church down the road? They have a split every 18 months. They're not focused on God. They're focused on each other. Y'all with me? Focused on the pew where Grandma sat. And Pawpaw's parking place. They ain't not focused on God. When I'm focused on God, all that petty stuff doesn't bother me. And when I'm focused on that petty stuff, I'm not thinking too much about God. There's one more mountain. Look at verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Listen to the preacher. The old covenant was given on Mount Sinai. And literally all it was thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And when you do, here's the offering you need to bring because you're going to mess up. In sin did my mother conceive me. Anger at sin. The awesomeness of our God. Number three. The approachable God. Here's what a mediator does. Can I have your hand? Can I have your hand? He says, Trevor, you're a sinner. And you can never have fellowship with this holy God. Here's why we teach what the Bible does. That Jesus, I'm representing Him, was God. Because He was God, He could touch God. Because He was man, He could touch man. And He brought man and God together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You've been raised in church. You weren't raised in church. We all need to be reconciled to God. God did not put, Mike, a church between Trevor and Elijah. Oh, and I love the church. Glory of the church didn't save you. Jesus saved you. The church pointed you to Jesus. But a church that points you back to the church is not the right church. A church that points you to Jesus is the right church. The instrument that pointed you to Jesus may have messed up. The instrument that pointed you to Jesus may have been messed up the night He pointed you to Jesus. It don't matter. Who saved you? The instrument or Jesus? Isn't that wonderful? Paul said as much. Paul said there's people, because they hate me, they go out and preach trying to hurt me, add insult to injury. I still ain't figured it out. I just know Paul wrote it. And Paul said, they're preaching Christ. He said, they think they're hurting me. They're pointing people to Jesus. Oh man, what a man Paul was. He said, it ain't all about me. It's all about Jesus. So Mount Calvary shows me that this God, who in Exodus they did not want to approach. Moses. That scares me to death. That scares me to death. Moses, you go talk to him and you come tell us what he said. That God that they did not want to approach. And then that God who was so awesome that when they did approach Him, all they could see was their sin. Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. When you see God for who He really is, He'll put His finger on that sin that is between you and Him. For some people in the Bible, it was the opposite sex. For some people in the Bible, it was money. For Isaiah, God didn't say, you're of unclean lips. Isaiah said, I've got unclean lips. Whether you're 8 or 6 or 10 or 70. And God says, you've never been reconciled. You join the church. You give diapers to open arms. You do goodie bags at Christmas. But you've never been reconciled to God. When God shows you that, here's the message. Receive it. Don't reject it. Agree with God. Take sides with God against yourself. Would you come to Jesus? Would you say yes to Jesus? If God's speaking to your heart, come to Him this morning.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.